So again, in these weeks leading up to Easter, we're in this series called From Death to Life. And what we're doing is we're taking a look at questions, big questions that we have about this topic of death. We've been taking a look at, like, why is death in the world? And why do tragedies happen? What happens when we die? And what is heaven like? And in all these questions, really, I've been hoping that this would be a practical series, honestly, for us, that there's usually so many questions when it comes to these things, and then we have a hard time sifting and sorting these things out. And even when we're going through times of grief, we have these very same questions. So my hope and my prayer is that we can answer some of those for you to make these times maybe not any easier, but to help understand what God has to say in those kinds of moments. So again, I've hoping that it would just be a practical series for us. And it's true with this week too, with this week's question that we're looking at. This week's question is, what do you say at funerals? What do you say in times like that? Funerals are tough. They're tough. Of course, we know they're tough, right? Of course, they're tough for those who are grieving, right? But even for the others who come, those who are coming to console those who are grieving, those who are coming to share words of grace and words of what God has to say in those times, those who are trying to take care of those going through those very difficult times in their life, what do you say? What do you say in those kinds of moments? Now, that's what we're going to look at this morning. But before we even do that, I do want to say it is true that you don't always have to have words. You don't always have to say something, because in those kinds of times, truth be told, sometimes just a hug, your presence, being there for them, maybe just a simple, I love you, or, you know, I'm here for you. That goes a really long way in these kinds of moments. But it is true, though, that usually we have the urge. When we're in those kinds of situations, we feel compelled to say something. Right? We've got to say something. We maybe it's saying something kind about the deceased, or something that would just shine a little light on that day, or give a little bit of hope. We feel compelled to say something. And I believe that we can. I believe that God actually gives us words that we can share, truthful, loving words that we can shine into their life in those moments. But again, it's tough. And I get that. It's really tough to do that. Funerals are tough. Mostly one reason, because every funeral is different. Situation is always different, because the person maybe who passed, maybe it was a sudden tragedy, or maybe it was actually the relief after a long time of suffering. Maybe you barely know the people who are grieving, or maybe they're like family to you. Or maybe the person who had passed, maybe they were, you know, an adamant believer in Jesus. Or maybe their faith was a big question mark. It's always different. And when it's always different, that's what makes it tough to have the right kinds of words to say. So today, I'm not here just to give a blanket answer to this question, one that's going to work in every single situation. No, it doesn't work that way. Every situation's different. What works in one might not work for another. But what I really want to do is give you some things to think about here this morning, four things, in fact, that I think will help you come up with the right words in these times. Okay, so that's what we have to do. We're going to take a look at these four things this morning. The first one is this. Speak truth in love. This is the goal in those moments. The goal is to speak truth in love. Now, you might have heard this phrase before. It actually comes up a lot in the Christian church. We use this phrase a lot. It comes from Ephesians chapter 4. Speak truth in love. But usually we use it in a different context. Usually when we say the phrase speak truth in love, what we're talking about is, like, maybe if you know someone who's like going down the wrong path who's making bad choices and they're just doing one bad thing after another, living a certain way of life. We use this phrase to remind us, you gotta say something, right? That's our job as a Christian. You gotta say something. But at the same time, you need to do it kindly, right? Don't just hit them with a stick, right? You gotta do it kindly. And sometimes we need that reminder. Tell them the truth, right? But don't be a jerk about it, right? Well, this phrase, though, it goes for funerals, too. Different context, though. Because at a funeral, you don't need that reminder to be kind, right? You don't need that reminder to be loving. No, in those moments, like, we're actually trying very hard, right, to be kind and to be loving. But what we do sometimes struggle with in those moments is telling truth. Telling truth. Now, what do I mean by that? You've been there before, right? You're there, you're at a funeral, you're talking to someone who's lost someone that they loved, and your mind is just swirling. Your mind is spinning, and often what happens is we just want to say something, like anything that sounds nice, right? Anything that sounds nice, like maybe these phrases up here, like, oh, I know heaven got another angel with this one. Right? Or we say something like, oh, I know this person, they're looking down on us and they're watching over us and they're still here to help you, you know, even though they might be gone. That sounds really nice, right? Nice things to say. But are they true? Not so much, at least not according to Scripture. And we've been looking at this the past couple of weeks. We talked about angels, how angels are angels, right? They're their own kinds of creatures. People don't turn into them after they die. And we also talked about, you know, when we die, our spirits, they go to be with Jesus, but we really don't have interaction with things going on down here. No, we are in heaven. We're in glory. We're by the side of Jesus himself. And so these kinds of phrases, these things that we come up with, they sound nice, right? But the truth is, we can do better. We can actually do a lot better than this. I believe that Scripture actually gives us so much biblical, loving, scriptural truth of things that we really can say in these kinds of situations. We really don't need the platitudes. We don't need them. We've got something better. Okay, so that's the first point. The second point is this. Grieve with them. At some point, a whole bunch of people bought into this idea that a funeral shouldn't be sad. That a funeral should not be sad. And you've heard this, maybe you've said this before, right? This is a victory day. Right? We're not mourning a death here. This is a life celebration. And even for the ones who are grieving, sometimes they're caught in a weird place. Because the thing in themselves, why am I sad? Why am I sad? Am I really a Christian if I'm sad right now? Because, I mean, someone who I love is with Jesus, right? Why am I crying? Why am I sad about this? Now, it's true that on a day like that, that there is hope. 100%. There is hope. And for baptized believers in Jesus, we have this promise, right? That we, in those moments, are with Jesus. Those people are safe. They are in heaven by his side. But on a day like a funeral, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to cry. In fact, I say it's good. It is right for us to grieve in those kinds of moments. Because those feelings, those tears, that heartbreak that we're experiencing, it's all there for a reason. It's there for a reason. Because our emotions in those moments, they're actually telling us something that's very true. That something that just happened, something is not right here. This whole situation, this whole day, something's not right here. I mean, this is the truth, right? To God, every death is a tragedy. tragedy. I mean, this is not what was supposed to happen. God did not create us to die. No way. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how we were created to be a body and a spirit. Those two things were united together, put together. They were never supposed to be taken apart. That wasn't the design. That wasn't the plan. They were never supposed to be separated from one another. And it's the same for these human relationships that we have. Those were never supposed to be separated. We were never supposed to be cut off from our loved ones. I see, the truth is, a funeral is actually that reminder that something has really gone wrong in the world. And actually, it's a reminder that we all have a part in that. That verse that I shared earlier in worship was from Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And again, it says that the wages of sin is death. The truth is, the person who died at a funeral, this is a reminder that this is what happens because of our sin. This wasn't the plan. Right? We made it the plan, and we all have a hand in that. The person died, and one day we will all die because we are sinners. That's the truth. Now, that does not mean that you should go to a funeral and say, well, you know, they had it coming, right? No, that's speaking truth, not in love, right? But what it does mean is it gives you the freedom in those moments to grieve, just like God. God is grieving this. He didn't want this. This wasn't the plan, right? It's okay to grieve. It's good to grieve in those times. It's good. I think it's right for you to tell those who were there that you miss that person too. That you're sad about this too. That validates the things that they are feeling and that they're experiencing, right? For those who are mourning, being told that they shouldn't be sad in those times, that doesn't help. That doesn't help at all. No, they need to feel validated in that they're not crazy, right, for feeling how they do. It's not like they have a weak faith, right? This is not how things were supposed to be. Not how they were supposed to be. And that actually brings me to my next point here. Number three. In those moments, don't fix this. Don't try to fix this. When you're talking to someone who's grieving, sometimes we have this urge to make things better, to make things right. Well, we think that maybe something that we say will actually maybe change their perspective, help them to look at this day differently, and maybe that will actually fix it. It will make their grief better. And so we might say things, and maybe you've shared things like this in the past. Yeah, you've heard these things before, though, right? Maybe God just needed them more than you did. Just think about it differently. Or, you've lost your spouse, but don't be sad about losing your spouse. Think about the 40 plus years that you had with them. Or, you lost a child, but think about the three other healthy kids that you have. What a blessing. You see, we mean well, but a change of perspective, that doesn't cut it. It doesn't help. It doesn't actually fix the problem. And it also doesn't validate how sad someone is feeling. Their deep, agonizing grief. That doesn't validate that at all. Just thinking about it differently, that's not going to help. It's not going to help. And I actually think that with this whole topic here, this is actually the issue. This is actually the issue with all of these kinds of things. We are the ones so often trying to fix this. We try really hard at this. You know, let's just say something that sounds nice here. Let's just call this a life celebration. Let's just think about this differently, right? Let's just change our perspective. Don't be sad. Let's make this right. It's gonna be okay. But the truth is, that day, things are not fine. This is not something that we can fix. Which is why, in those kinds of moments, all we can do, and in my opinion, all that we should do, is point to Jesus. Point to the one who can
fix this.
Point to the one who actually can make things right. Now, and I know that this seems obvious, right? Of course, right? Point to Jesus at a funeral, right? That seems so obvious, but we miss this. We miss this. In our times of grieving, in our times of mourning, we actually miss opportunities, solid opportunities to point people to Jesus. You see, a funeral is no victory celebration. A funeral is why Jesus had to die on a cross and lay in a tomb himself. See, this is the problem that Jesus has come to solve. This is what Jesus is all about. And there's one story about Jesus that I want to share with you here. It's a story where we really see this deep in the heart of Jesus. See, when Jesus was here on earth a couple thousand years ago, he went to a funeral. It comes in a book of the Bible called John, John chapter 11. And in John chapter 11, Jesus hears about his good friend named Lazarus. Lazarus was his good friend, but he became very sick, and soon after, he died. Jesus goes to the funeral, and there at the funeral are all the people there to mourn, and back then, it was a very long, drawn-out thing, lasting several days long. And there's Jesus at this funeral now, and there's two people in particular, Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha are the two sisters of Lazarus, and they are in great agony. They're crying, they're upset, they're angry. Actually, Martha gets up in Jesus' face and says, Jesus, like, I tried. I sent you a message. I told you that he was sick, but you didn't even show up until now. Until now. But there at that funeral, you know what Jesus does? He doesn't offer a platitude. He doesn't try to change their perspective. No, they're angry. They're weeping and missing their brother. And in the midst of all of those things, you know what Jesus does? He weeps. He weeps. He grieves with them. See, to God, every death is a tragedy. It's the opposite of what he wants for anyone. So there, in that moment, at that funeral, Jesus weeps. But he does something else, too. He does actually offer words in those moments. But these words he shares with them, they're no platitudes. They're not just words that sound nice. No, they are words that are full of loving truth. And to me, these are the most powerful words that Jesus ever said. And they're up here, right here. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. I am the resurrection. I am the life. This is everything that Jesus is about. You see, even when we face death, even in the most tragic times, there is hope. There is actual hope that we can share, actual truth that we can share. There is when we point to Jesus. You see, Jesus, he has made us a promise. See, those who believe in him do not die. Their bodies do, but their spirits, they go to be with Jesus. They will always, always, always live with Jesus. But you see, here, right here, Jesus has made us another promise. A promise that one day, he will actually take our bodies and actually raise them from the dead. That's resurrection. That's the promise of the last day, the day that bodies and spirits are going to be one day reunited. This is what Jesus is all about. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And after Jesus shared these words with Mary and Martha, that's exactly what he did. He went to the tomb in that story of Lazarus, and he called him out. He actually raised Lazarus from the dead. He walked right out of that tomb, body and spirit, reunited again. See, Jesus was showing them, and he was showing us that he is the fix. He is the hope. He has the words that actually make a difference. So what do you say at a funeral? Point to Jesus. Remind them that Jesus is weeping. God is grieving here too. And that's exactly why God sent his son into a tomb himself. Today we mourn. And it's okay to mourn. But one day, because of Jesus, one day we will have every reason to celebrate. One day we believe that Jesus will fix this. One day he will call us out of our tombs. One day we will be resurrected from the dead. One day, friends, just picture this. One day we will see death and tears no more. Because one day all we will see is life with Jesus. In fact, would you join me in a word of prayer as we come to Jesus right now? Lord Jesus, Lord, we believe that you are the way and the truth and the life. We believe, Jesus, that you actually have the words. You are the fix for this problem in the world called death. Lord, we admit that sometimes we have tried. We've tried to fix it ourselves. We've tried to make light of it or change our perspective about it, God. But today we see that death is a tragedy. You see death as a tragedy, which is why you yourself went to the cross. It's why you went into a tomb. So that in the midst of death, in the midst of deep agony, God, we can have hope. Jesus, we see that hope in you today. We see that hope in your promises and in your word, God. We pray, God, that you would give us those words. Lord, when we talk to those who are hurting, when we talk to those who are grieving, when we talk to people who are maybe just having a really hard day, God, give us those words of hope. Let them not be our words, God. Let them be yours. Let us point people to you, your promises, and the wonderful celebration that does await us one day, Jesus, because we believe your tomb was empty. And one day ours will be too. And so Jesus, today we believe, we pray all these things, trusting in your promises and boldly praying that prayer that you've taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. At this time.